Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9 is where we'll begin this evening. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9. Please take your Bibles and turn with me there as we study God's Word. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? This question was raised in response to God's earlier question. You see, Cain had committed a great and grievous sin. He had become jealous of his brother and had taken it upon himself to rid his brother from the earth. He had buried him. God comes to him and asks him the question, Where is your brother? Cain says, Am I my brother's keeper? The right kind of questions may cause us to think soberly. Who is our brother? We all have the same creator and the same earthly parents. Adam and Eve are parents to all of us. I don't know Noah's wife's name, but Noah and Noah's wife, we're all kin to them. We come down from that line. We're all brothers in that sense. We are our brother's keeper. Let's notice a few passages. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. We come to the end of the Old Testament before a large period of silence. And we hear from Malachi, one of the last prophets to speak in God's name. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man, against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? We have all one Father. That makes us brothers. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. We all have the same creator. We all have the same earthly parents. All are not brethren in Christ, but all are brothers in the flesh, because all are descendants of Noah. We should feel obligated to all as far as possible. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul explains his debt to mankind because he had something that mankind deeply needed. And so he felt it his obligation to preach to them the gospel of Christ. And he reminds us of our duty as well when he says, So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All are not brethren in Christ, but we are all brothers in the flesh. We have an obligation to others. We ask that question once again. Should we be our brother's keeper? You know, as much as there is a gospel of peace, peace with God, a gospel of salvation, there is a gospel of selfishness. That gospel says that every brother ought to help himself and keep himself. If a brother cannot keep himself, he deserves to perish. Every brother has enough to do to keep himself. Many people have that attitude. Why deal with someone else when we have enough to do ourselves? But that's the gospel of selfishness. But the gospel of love says, yes, I am my brother's keeper. God teaches us to be our brother's keeper. He asks, Where is your brother to Cain? Cain smarts off like many do. Am I my brother's keeper? He did not know that that question would be something that we would be talking about thousands of years later. It's a rhetorical question if he really thinks about it, and the answer is yes. You are your brother's keeper. You need to be concerned about your brother, not murderous of your brother. You need to be concerned about your brother, not hating your brother, not jealous of your brother. You need to want what's best for him, what's best between him and his God. God teaches us the gospel of love says yes. Genesis 13 and verse 8. Genesis 13 and verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. The land wasn't big enough to keep both the cattle of Lot and of Abram. And so Abram decides to get together with Lot and discuss the matter. Let there be no strife. Let there be no fighting. Let there not be a problem. Am I my brother's keeper? Abraham answers it, yes. I am to be concerned with my brother. He says, choose the way. Lot chose what he thought was the best way, with the well-watered fields and the beauty of the lowlands. Abraham went the other way. He went to the mountains, to the solitude, and he went to where there was peace between him and Lot. And so was his brother's keeper. We need to understand that our brother will be lost. Our brother may be very well lost if we are not concerned with him, if we are not our brother's keeper. We turn to passages such as 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. And as we turn to this passage, we think about people we've known in time past, people that are our companions now, perhaps members of our family. And if we have not, we ought to weep. We ought to wonder, what can I do? Because God is serious about what he's doing. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. It helps if the preacher has the right book. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that if they don't know God, and that if they haven't obeyed the gospel, that it's not our fault for keeping it from them. That it's not us who has failed in our duty to send the message as far as we can. Because it's flaming fire that we're talking about. It's the vengeance of God. We don't stand up here and cry these things to scare people, but to let people know what reality is. Reality is that to those that don't obey the gospel, there is a price to pay. And that price is eternal. And if we are our brother's keeper, they will hear from us about what God requires. Do we love our neighbor? Do we love our families? We ought to be giving them the truth. There's a joy connected to being our brother's keeper. Failure to be our brother's keeper means we fail both God and man. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and following. Matthew 25, verses 31 and following. At the end of this long section of teaching, Jesus brings up our obligations to one another. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Sounds like he's talking about our theme this evening. Am I my brother's keeper? We're going to be judged by whether we take that seriously or not. That is sure. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, and to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment to who? To those that were not their brother's keeper. Those that did not show concern. Those that did not care for those in need around them. In need, whether physically or spiritually, God holds us accountable. We ask the question again, am I my brother's keeper? I believe we can say resoundingly, yes. What keeps us from being our brother's keeper? For some, it's envy of the good of others. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, if you will. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 10 through 12. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You can imagine the thoughts going through Cain's mind as he looks to the blessings that his brother enjoys. The approval of God was on Abel, and Cain was feeling the words of God as God had condemned him for his selfish practices. And somehow he thought he could be happier if God didn't have the blessings coming from Abel, and if Abel wasn't receiving the blessings coming from God. I don't know how someone comes up with that particular idea, but in some way, Cain decided to alleviate himself of his problem, his guilt, by murdering his brother. Doesn't make much sense. It didn't gain him anything, but it was all because of envy. Because he didn't want his brother to prosper in the sight of God. Envy keeps us from being our brother's keeper. We see someone who looks to be blessed, looks to be have the wealth of this world, looks to have the kind of family, perhaps, that you would like to have. Some of us came up hard. Some of us came up in such a way that we were neglected. Some of us had problems. I recognize that. My family has had those too. We look at others that you have a family of all the brothers became preachers, seem to have good marriages and are prospering, and you wonder, why him and not me? But the proper response, still, love for brother, not envy. Envy keeps us from being our brother's keeper. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Verse 15 says, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. The people, that is the leaders of the Jews, envied Jesus. Why would they envy him? Because Jesus went out into the wilderness and their classrooms emptied out. You know, around the temple complex area, there were rooms. And in those rooms, there were rabbis charging for their instruction. And when first John the Baptist and then Jesus went out of the wilderness and began to heal and to preach, those rooms were emptying out. And so there was envy from those rabbis to Jesus. They wanted their power back. They wanted their money back. And so that's the reason why they had him crucified. What keeps us from being our brother's keeper? Envy of the good of others. And then there's the concern only for self. Selfishness keeps us from being our brother's keeper. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Verse 24. He cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Let no man seek his own, but seek the good things of others. Concern for self often keeps us from being our brother's keeper. Luke chapter 10, verses 29 and following, gives us another way we fail to be our brother's keeper. And that is by indifference. We simply become numb to what's going on around us. We don't see when people are hurting. Or if we do, we become jaded and take care of ourselves rather than the other. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Now, these people who are reportedly good people, the Levite and the priest, they knew the law of God, they knew how they should treat their neighbors, but they had simply ignored it. Why would they do that? Well, they were more concerned about their own purity, that is, their religious purity. They could not touch anything dead and do their duty for a while. That it would have to be a period of time before they could be cleansed. Perhaps that's the reason. It may be something even darker. It may be simply that they just did not want to get involved. You stop and you make yourself vulnerable sometimes. We know that out on the highways, and yet we stop when we see someone in trouble, or should. But they didn't. And God uses them as an example of those that are not their brother's keeper. Their neighbor's keeper, if you will. What keeps us from being our brother's keeper? Envy of the good of others, concern only for self, indifference toward the welfare of others. Now, what is involved in being our brother's keeper? Since we're talking the gospel here, we better start with the gospel. How can someone be blessed eternally unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? We notice Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now think of that word, damned or condemned. Do we want that for the people that are around us, within our area of influence? Can we settle for that, that the people that we know don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel? Not if we are our brother's keeper. Not if we love our neighbor as we ought. What is involved in being our brother's keeper? Loving others as we love self. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Beginning in verse 37, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice that word, commandment. We go throughout the Old Testament, we feel the weight of the commandments given at Mount Sinai. We hear the weight, feel the weight of God speaking from the Mount, God telling them, this is reality as you should know it. This is what I'm not going to put up with and what I command you to do. There was no choice. If you want to get out of this, you'll do some alternative. There's nothing like that. It's God's requirement. What God's requirement is that we love our neighbor. And not just that, he qualifies it. Love our neighbor as ourself. Do you want to be saved yourself? Do you want to stand before God clean? Do you want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? If you love your neighbor, that's what you'll want for your neighbor as well. That's being our brother's keeper. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about a time when sometimes our brother falls. That is at one point on the side of being saved, but then they're attracted to the world once again, or have made mistakes and need to be restored. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 tells us about the attitude that we ought to have when we go to our brother, when we go to them and seek their good. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is being our neighbor's, our brother's keeper. You go to that one and see if there's anything that can be done or said that will bring that one back. But we fear to do that, don't we? We fear to go to someone with something so very personal in their lives. And yet if we love them, that's exactly what we'll do. We've been told all our lives not to meddle with others and those personal things. But if we love them, don't want to live an eternity in hell, don't want that for them, that's exactly what we will do. What can we do to get you back on the straight and narrow? That is being our brother's keeper. Then, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. It gives a picture. It's just like going to a picnic, that you have to carry this big old cooler out to the picnic site, and one person gets on one side and the other gets on the other, and you share the burden going out. Bear ye one another's burdens is a picture of helping when someone else needs something. It may be that they're lonely and they need someone to talk to. It may be that they need guidance or direction and you're the only one that they're comfortable with. And they may be that they simply need to hear what God's message is for them in their situation. It may be a hundred things. I can't recount them all. But it may be up to you to provide that. It may be a meal. It may be a connection that they need to make. It could be most anything. We share their burdens and their joys. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, kind of sums it up. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good to your neighbor. That is being your brother's keeper. And then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. This is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible, I think, if you really think about it. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Think about it for a minute. Before an encounter with the gospel, before the man bowed the knee to King Jesus, he was a thief. And yet, hearing the gospel and heeding God's words and believing his promises, he became a Christian and stopped that way of life. From taking, now he's giving. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that he can have something to give to others. That's being your brother's keeper. Because sometimes people have needs. Sometimes people just can't do it all themselves. Especially if there are hard times. And so, we sum it up in Matthew chapter 7, and verse 12. Being our brother's keeper, you can't get away from the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What do you want? How do you want people to treat you? That's how you need to treat your brother. If you want people to be concerned about you, you be concerned about them. That's being our brother's keeper. And so you ask yourself a question right now. Right now, there in your seat, am I my brother's keeper? The people that I see on a daily basis, weekly basis, maybe even a monthly basis, people that are family, am I concerned about them? Am I indifferent? Am I selfish? What am I to them? Do I treat them as I want to be treated? What will happen if we are not our brother's keeper? What will happen? That one may slip away from you. That one may end up in a devil's hell because of discouragement, because they did not obey the gospel of Christ for many reasons, because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We ask ourselves the question finally, are we willing to accept the consequences of our past and present practice? Are we our brother's keeper? That's the question we all must mull in our minds. There may be someone here today that has not obeyed the gospel of Christ. You need to be baptized for the remission of sins. And the gospel is an invitation for you to do that right now. It's always right now because you have no promise of tomorrow. And so if you find yourself in a situation where you know you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and yet you have not taken care of it, use this opportunity. We ask you to use this opportunity so that you might be saved. We want people to be saved. And so we give them that opportunity. And so there may be others who have found and thought about it in the last half hour or so that I really haven't been my brother's keeper. You need to ask God for forgiveness. And part of that asking for forgiveness is a change of mind. A change of mind where you're going to think about others as you go about your daily business. That you're going to make contact with those you know that are struggling. That you're going to make contact with those that you know are ignorant of the gospel. You have that responsibility now. And if it's a private matter between you and your God, ask him for forgiveness and leave this place clean. But there may be something in your lives that you need to confess publicly. Not for the matter of shame, as some people call it, the walk of shame, I know, but that's not what it is. It's your opportunity. Your opportunity to have the prayers of your brethren here. And your opportunity to remove an influence that you might have had over others. If you are your brother's keeper, you find yourself that you are in sin, you need to take care of that. Ask God for forgiveness. Let us pray with you that you might be restored once again. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.